Skynet begins to learn at a geometric rate. It becomes self-aware.
Captain Wally has commandeered the robots.
Murder's a new trick for a robot. Congratulations.
A toy robot?
Egglet, sucker.
Even before we started building intelligent machines, we started worrying about that inevitable moment when those machines would be better than us, would decide they no longer need us, would turn on us. Science fiction, of course. But fast forward to the real 21st century, and some of our brightest thinkers are also worrying, out loud in some cases, about the rise of the machines.
Tech billionaire Elon Musk says artificial intelligence is actually the biggest threat to us all.
Stephen Hawking told the BBC that its development could spell the end of the human race.
That's a clip there from the latest installment of Retro Report, looking at our fear of our own creations. How worried should we really be about the robots? Joining me in the studio now is Retro Report producer Eric German. Hi, Eric.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So how far back does this fear of the robots we've created actually go?
That's a great way to pose the question, and history teaches us a couple of things. First of all, it goes back to the time when the word robot first appeared in literature, which was in 1920. It was in a play that first premiered in Prague. And in that story, the robots revolted and annihilated humanity. So this wasn't like some sort of genre innovation in stories about artificial intelligence. This was baked into the idea from the beginning.
Is it a realistic fear that at some point the intelligence that we create artificially is going to decide it doesn't need us?
The best people to ask that question are the people that are engaged in trying to solve the hardest problems in artificial intelligence today. And if you ask them, they say, no, it's not a realistic fear. People that are out there selling panic to the public right now know less about it by an abundant measure than the people that are actually working on it. And if you look at the answers that the AI researchers give in the context of what they're working on and how far they have to go, I think that what they say is actually pretty believable. The kinds of things that are more likely impacts of this technology are the more boring consequences of technology that we've seen before in history. It makes surveillance easier. It sometimes increases the gap between rich and poor. And it's also the elimination of jobs. Automation takes away jobs. And so the problem with the discussion of the robot apocalypse whenever an artificial intelligence comes up is it takes away all the oxygen from discussion of real impacts that we should be discussing.
You know, you have in your piece the famous set of chess matches between Garry Kasparov and the IBM computer Deep Blue. Eventually, the computer beat the world chess champion with very subtle strategy and foresight, things that even its designers didn't quite know it would be capable of. And that scared a lot of people.
It did. There was a strain of the coverage that was very, very spooked by this because chess was regarded as this particularly intellectual game. These things are games that have a finite set of pieces where you can see all of them on the board. They have a clear set of rules and goals, and life is nothing like that. And it's possible that the correct analogy for what's going on in between our ears is computation, right? It's possible that we've hit upon the kind of device that begins to approximate what goes on in our head. But it's also entirely possible that we're making the same mistake that every era has made before us, which is that every era looks at what's going on between our ears and tries to apply to it the most complex technology that they have available at the time, right? So in the time of Freud, it was hydraulics, and that's why Freud talked about mental pressure, right? In the 18th century, it was the watchmakers, and that's why they talked about clockwork. Whatever is sort of the most sophisticated kind of technology you can dream up, that's what you think is going on inside of our heads. But we could be making the same kind of mistake as the 18th century watchmakers who look at the brain and say it's just a really complicated meat clock. And the idea that there's going to be some sort of leap from the computation necessary to solve a finite game to the kinds of computation that you and I do just carrying on this conversation, like the amount of bandwidth of information you and I are exchanging now is staggeringly complex and so far beyond the current technology of the day that we don't even really know if what we're working on is close.
Radio host 3000 might be in your future, folks, and that'll be the least worrisome part of it. I hope Eric German is right that there's absolutely nothing to worry about. Eric German, Retro Report, thank you.
Thank you.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.